Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download the Bashani Radio app and leave me a voicemail on the feedback. Let me know what you think of my show or some topics you may want me to talk about, and you may even be on my show. This show is sponsored by Rashad's Detail, Terry Ingram Sr., CEO and owner. Have wheels, will clean. Also want to take this opportunity to thank my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping these nuggets to let you live your best life. I have an awesome, awesome guest. It's a privilege and honor to have him on my broadcast with you today. His name is Jeff Hood. He is the Executive Director and CEO for the National Association of Police Athletics and Activities League. Let me tell you a little bit more about him. This was formed, and the organization was formed in September 2017. Since joining the National PAL, the organization has experienced significant growth in the areas of brand awareness, chapter membership, budget enhancement, youth engagement, and event activation. Mr. Hood has been involved with several youth-related causes for more than 30 years. Prior to joining National PAL, Jeff served as the executive director for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Activities League since March of 2009. He also was the co-founder and executive director for Athletes United for Youth, formerly Del Curry Charity for Youth, since its inception in 1998. Before co-founding Athletes United for Youth organization, Jeff was the director of adolescent services at the McLeod Addicted Disease Center for approximately 9 years. During this time, Jeff was instrumental in youth program development, where he co-wrote a program for a youth wellness camp, as well as programs associated with inpatient and outpatient substance abuse services. In 2010, in an effort to honor and pay tribute to his mother, Doris Hoody Hood, who is a retired educator with the New York City Board of Education and a devoted community youth advocate, Jeff founded the Hoodies House of Hope for Youth Foundation, whose mission is in aiding and addressing homelessness, hunger, education, leadership development, mentoring, and out-of-school time programs. Hoodies House, in going global, now operates a well-established K through 7th grade school in Thomas Ely, Haiti, currently serving 112 youth. Additionally, since 2012, Hoodies House of Hope for Youth hosts two annual community holiday celebration of hope feeding of the homeless, undeserved, and elderly events each year that has aided and provided for in excess of 10,000 persons to date. Throughout his experience, Jeff is the most effective planning, implementing, and engaging with youth in programs that are designed to help you make right decisions that will excel their future. Jeff also specializes in event planning, fundraising, and grant writing. He is credited with having initiated several celebrity charity golf classics, concerts, galas, youth clinics, and the nationally recognized Hoodies House National H8 Hoops Classic. Through spectator attendance, sponsorship, and financial success, each of these charitable fundraising events have benefited youth housed within undeserved Charlotte-Mecklenburg communities. Additionally, over the years, Jeff has amassed in excess of $20 million of grant funds. Jeff is a native of Queens, New York, is a graduate of North Carolina Wesleyan College, where he received his BA degree. In September 2007, Jeff was inducted into the North Carolina Wesleyan Sports Hall of Fame after having completed a stellar basketball career. In 2018, Jeff was recognized by the NBA Charlotte Hornets as their Tissot Gift of Time Community Service Person of the Year. He was also honored and recognized as a Made Man of Charlotte, North Carolina. In 2019, Noble recognized Jeff as their Civil Rights Justice by Action for Youth of the Year Award. Jeff, a longstanding member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, is married to Gloria Sledge Hood, and together have a wonderful daughter named Maya. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
All of that means is that I'm old. That's what all of that means. So,
listen, Jeff, that's a blessing because you know our youth is not making it to 30 these days. So it's a blessing to be old.
Oh, no, no question. I appreciate it. But, you know, you didn't have to say all of that. I'm just Jeff. And I'm happy to be in your presence and be here to be able to speak with you today.
Well, it's definitely an honor, and I definitely thank you for taking out time of your busy schedule to do this interview with me this morning. Now, I only have one question to ask you, Jeff. What has been the lowest point of your life, and how has it propelled you into where you are today?
Wow, you just get right at it, huh?
I do. You know, we have 30 minutes, so we need to get it going.
definitely. No, I don't know. That's a tough question. I would say the toughest was also the most rewarding from this standpoint, right? I grew up in inner city New York, Queens, New York. And, you know, you didn't know what you didn't have until you wound up venturing out, right? I didn't realize that we was underprivileged or that we were classified as underserved and all because everybody else around us was that way too, you know? So
right. You
didn't really know what you didn't have, you know, until honestly, when I wound up leaving to go away to college and, you know, and I'm seeing people moving into the dorms and those types of things with all of these items and these luxuries and all. And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, and even like having your own room and things like that. You know, there was 9 of us in our family, so none of us had our own room, you know. So, you know, it's I would say somewhat that, but that was also the blessing because that is what also where I got my fight and my drive from, you know, is that because of, I always knew that, yeah, that's where I was born, you know, in that type of a situation, but I knew that wasn't going to be my final destination, you know? So that's what I guess within me gave me the drive to want more, to do better and to achieve greater things for myself and my family. So, I would think I would probably put it there, but I've been blessed. You know, God has looked out for me and has blessed me and shown great grace and mercy upon me. So I can't complain about anything being too bad.
Well, listen, out of all the states, why North Carolina to come to go to college?
Well, you know, it's interesting, right? So, again, as you stated, I played basketball and all, and going to North Carolina Wesleyan College in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, it was, and for the most part, this was going to be my first time, extended time away from home, right? So my father's side of the family was from Wilson, Clayton, North Carolina, which was pretty much down the road from where I went to college. So I sought to go there because I knew that I was going to have some extended support and family that I can rely on when I knew that I was going to wind up getting homesick, you know, a little bit, and they can kind of help, you know, help me through some of those times by being somewhere where there was family. But I did know that I wanted to get out of New York and experience something else. So that's why that destination was chosen.
Oh, great. And I mean, like you just said, you didn't know you were underprivileged and didn't have much until you went away to college. I graduated from St. Andrew's Presbyterian College in Laurinburg.
Yep.
And I mean, kids were coming to school with Mercedes. And I'm like, wow, you know. So it was definitely a blessing for me as well. So I can definitely identify with that situation. But
So you went to St. Andrews?
Yes, I did.
Wow, and you know there. That was one of our rival colleges in basketball.
Right.
That was our rival school. We used to go at it against St. Andrews. And I'll never forget the guy he was their best player, and I was so-called our best player. His name was Will Peterson, and we used to go at it. Yeah, he and I used to go at it against.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
He was.
What a small world. Oh, my God.
Yes, it is.
Jeff, I told you I knew you from somewhere. I knew I had seen you somewhere. And that's exactly probably where it was.
Probably. But, yeah, he and I used to go at it at St. Andrews and at my school. Wow, that brought about back some serious memories. But, wow.
Yeah, because he was definitely a one-man basketball team. I mean, he got
yes,
hold of the ball, and he wouldn't let nobody else do nothing.
He was a good player, though.
St. Andrews on the map, I tell you that.
He did. He did. He did. How he definitely did. So, wow.
Well, what made you decide to focus on the youth?
Well, you know, in part because of my mother, you know, as you stated, you know, my last name is Hood. Everybody always called my mother Hoodie. And even though we were, you know, in quote unquote underserved community, you know, our house was like the place to go and to be a lot of times. My mom was always welcoming to kids, other kids and families in the community and what have you. And she just really had a very genuine spirit of giving and helping people. And that's, I know that's where I got it from. And, you know, secondly, it was based on the fact that young people, you know, unfortunately nowadays don't know what it's like to really have a childhood a lot of times. They, you know, and I work with kids all across the country, and unfortunately a lot of them are forced to grow up a lot quicker than what they need to, and they miss the time of being, you know, a kid and just enjoying being a young person and a kid. And my thing is that for as much as possible, I want to be able to endear young people to be that and be kids and not forced to grow up so quickly. We as adults, we've had our chance and opportunity to be a young person. I always want to try to give back to help those young people to have a good opportunity to understand what it is to be a kid and not have to grow up so quickly. So I've always been in endearing myself to young people. You know, as I speak across the country, I tell people, I love kids, I do kids, I just don't really do adults well. So that's it.
We have so much in common, Jeff, I tell you.
I do. I mean, I love my kids. I have kids all across this country. They text me, you know, every week, and they call me Pop, and they say, hey, Pop, I'm just calling, I'm just checking in with you, you know, and seeing how you doing, and I'm, and, you know, and vice versa, I check on them as well. But I love the engagement with our young people, and because it's genuine. You know, when you get into dealing a lot with adults and older people, a lot of times there's an agenda there. There's something, you know, there. You know, I just love the genuineness of being with our young people and listening to them, you know. And unfortunately, we as adults, you know, we think we know everything and know what's best for young people, and we don't include young people in the conversation. But I love inviting our young people to the table to hear what their thoughts are, what's going on, and what they feel in and what they're experiencing. And, you know, so that's what motivates me, and that's what drives me.
I know, because, you know, we talked about Lauren Burke Institute as well. And, you know, when I was growing up, the school was like, you know, these are troubled kids from New York. So nobody actually wanted to associate with them. But like your mom, I had a mom that had a loving heart. You know, we would go over there on Sunday and invite a couple of guys to the house or a couple of girls to the house just to make them feel, you know, safe and comfortable in our city. But as you were saying, you know, most of us grew up, the baby boomers, we grew up in, you know, two-parent homes. And these kids today, you know, they're being raised by single moms. And, I mean, you work the Central Prison as well, and I'm in prison ministry. So, you know, that's their gateway to prison. As a matter of fact, I was so shocked to find out that they can determine by the grade of
the third grade,
this person is going to end up in prison. Now, that was truly mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, yeah, it is, and that's an unfortunate statistic. But, you know, the same way I love our young people, and I love loving on our young people and all, we also have to hold them accountable. Right, as well. You know, our young people today, there's what's permeated, you know, a lot of our kids across the country is this whole sense of entitlement, right?
Yeah.
Because I want, I should have, you know.
Exactly.
And I blame sometimes us as adults and parents for some of this as well, right? Because our parents wanted more for us than they had. Their parents wanted more for them, and on and on and on down the cycle. And we, of course, wanted more for our kids than what we got. Well, the problem with that is this, from my standpoint, and this is only Jeff's standpoint, right? Is I think what has happened, though, is we, in wanting more for our young people, we have not allowed them to experience the work ethic and the investment, right? Our parents, you know, when they wanted more for us, but they still had us to experience the work ethic, to have pride in your work, take pride in what you're doing, right? And not just that it's going to be given to you, that you're going to earn it. And by earning it, you take pride in it and you cherish it more. I think a lot of our young people today, through this sense of entitlement, you know, and you have, you know, a number of parents out there, instead of being parents to the child, they're trying to be the friend of the child, you know, and they're missing out on being the, you know, the parent, and the child is missing out on the work ethic part, you know, and that's where I think that it's really tough right now, is that a number of these kids are being given a number of things and they don't understand the work ethic as well as the sacrifice, you know. And, you know, like even to this day, you know, my daughter and I talk, you know, you know, I come home from work and what have you, and I hang my clothes up. I take care of my stuff. Yeah, I can afford to get some things now, you know, but still that ethic, work ethic, and that pride in taking care of what's been blessed upon you, because you don't know when you may come upon tough times and you can't afford things anymore. So I take care of my stuff and it lasts longer. Whereas some of our kids nowadays, they just throw stuff, take it off, throw it, don't really take care of it and all of that. And that's tough. So saying all that is, yeah, it's, you know, we want to expose them to things, but we also have to allow them to understand accountability and not be so entitled, you know, to things just because they're our child. They need to understand the work ethic.
I definitely agree with you there. Unfortunately, my mom spoiled all of us, and but she did teach us how to work, you know, work in the house if nothing else. But like you say today, you can't even pay your kid to take the garbage out or wash the dishes, you know.
I wish the heck I would try to pay my child and have a, I wish that would even come out of my mouth. I ain't paying you. You need to take the trash out, period. You know, I ain't paying you to take no trash out. That's, look, you live here, you eat here, you know, all of these things are given to you, and then I got to pay you to take the trash out? I wish I would. That ain't going to happen. Hello? 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 Hello?
Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.